Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Evan Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and I'm so excited when we get to talk about future thinking materials. But we're really solving a big problem with those conversations. And today, the main message is that we're going to be talking about carbon negative materials that can be scaled, which is a key word here, and most importantly, adopt meaningful change. And so we get to have the company Planted, and they started the company to answer this question. What is the fastest way to remove carbon from the atmosphere and turn it into useful, durable products? I raise my hand, Tribe, and I say, there's a lot of talk around this movement, but how many people are taking action? What we're going to talk about is we can do more than standard OSB as a sheeting material. I got to meet Josh Dorfman, who is the co-founder and CEO at Planted. And I met them at the Housing Innovation Alliance conference at the University of Denver, and we hit it off. And today's the day we get to bring this to life of bringing the art of construction and Planted together. And my perspective is that we're going to talk about the facade of the future, and let's challenge each other to think a little bit differently for building materials. So without further ado, let's get to know Josh and his story of what they're doing at the cool, innovative products of moving OSB forward through Planted. Lock and load, Tribe. All right, what's your favorite beverage?
A hop, skip, and get naked.
Whoa.
Yeah, let me unpack that for you. So it's vodka, beer, some frozen lemonade, preferably. Limeade can work too, highly concentrated. Ice. You put that in a giant vat. Vat's really the appropriate word. Kind of get like a big broom handle, stir it all up, and there you go. Hop, skip, and get naked. It's a great way to have a very good time.
Wow, it's like I'm going back to college with the jungle juice and all this, but it has a new name. What's the name of it one more time?
Hop, skip, and get naked. It goes back quite a long ways. There's a real lineage and heritage to this type of beverage. Probably goes back to your college days, some branch of this lineage probably, it was something that you were imbibing in college, Devin.
Well, I'm definitely going to be researching that, and I love to start this thing off to kind of hook them in a different way of to have as much fun as possible. Next thing is, tell us about the favorite place you've traveled.
There is a town in central China called Yangshuo, which, if you've seen landscape paintings of China in a very classical sense, sometimes you see this sort of misty background with these mountains that are green and verdant, and sort of seems impossible that it's real. Well, sitting in this incredible landscape, or at least at the time, was the village of Yangshuo, which was basically like a hippie haven in communist China. It's a really beautiful, fascinating place. I would say that's the most favorite place I've ever visited.
Can you give us one quick story from your trip there?
Absolutely. So to me, travel is so much about that human connection and interrelationship and meeting folks in these wonderful places. And so one morning I got up early to do a sunrise hike and went up one of these gorgeous, verdant green mountains, got to the top, ready for the sun to come up. And there was this old Chinese woman, just wrinkled and wizened and already there. I have no idea what time she had gotten there. And we sat there together, couldn't really communicate too well, but she shared her snacks with me and we sat and watched the sun come up. And it just was a very profound moment of connection and beauty and really celebrating what it means to go travel and experience a different culture.
Super cool. And what is your favorite hobby or interest outside of the construction silos we're going to talk about breaking down that we passionately call the art of construction?
Well, for me, that tends to evolve with what my 13-year-old son's favorite hobbies are at this point. I'm either working or spending a lot of family time. And for a while, since we moved down to the South here in North Carolina, that was NASCAR, which for a kid who grew up out in Westchester County outside of New York City was a lot of fun. Now it's fishing. And so we were out on doing some ocean fishing a couple weeks ago. Shep, my son, caught his first shark. I caught my first shark. So that's our new hobby.
Well, what is your story that led you to being the co-founder and CEO at Planted?
For me, I've been a sustainability-focused entrepreneur for most of my career. It actually comes out of time I spent in China years ago, thinking about how the world will grow economically, how do we develop, do that in ways that are aligned with the ability of nature to support that type of growth, so we don't overshoot nature's ecosystems. And I spent a lot of time thinking about that. I had started my first sustainable furniture company back in 2003, thinking about how do you help consumers move their consumption in a sustainable direction. So that was very much about beautifully designed furniture to make that something that would be highly palatable. So I've spent my career doing different things in this industry. I had a TV and radio show for a while called The Lazy Environmentalist, helping lazy Americans go green without having to work very hard. So really always thinking about what is the path of least resistance to enabling sustainable adoption of products and change. Spent time at Amazon, built a business called Vine.com, like an online Whole Foods, and then came down to North Carolina to start a second furniture company. We were manufacturing in Western North Carolina and very interested in domestic manufacturing, shortening, strengthening supply chains. I was really excited about that business, but during the pandemic, I couldn't get materials. I just couldn't source them. And we were trying to use a very high-grade FSC-certified plywood. When I could get it, quality was going down, prices were going up, and it really got me thinking a lot about materials as a potentially great business to get into, both from a business opportunity and a sustainability opportunity where I think a lot of innovation is possible and necessary. That's what drew me to this business. And then in that moment where I was thinking about these types of topics, I was fortunate to connect with co-founders who are thinking along the similar lines and crazy enough to jump into this together.
Awesome. Well, I'm super excited to unpack this. Starting off by, on your website, you have the tagline, "We envision a world that stands in balance with nature, a world built from grass." So I think the word grass we're going to expound on. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Sure. So for us, the starting point for Planted was, again, thinking about plywood, thinking about the kinds of materials that I was working with. Could we identify a biomass that could grow much faster than trees, right? Could we identify something through photosynthesis? Could therefore, if you could grow much faster, just pull more carbon, remove more carbon from the atmosphere at a much faster clip? And so we've spent a lot of time looking at all sorts of things that we hear a lot about, from industrial hemp to bamboo to rice husks, you name it, all sorts of waste streams. And we found through our research a grass that grows exceptionally fast, exceptionally tall. We'll get yields that are about 5 times to 6 times greater per acre per year than you can get with managed timberland, and has great performance characteristics. And so when we step back and then said, okay, what are we really trying to accomplish here? And this goes to the team we're assembling and how we think about our business. What we're thinking about is a whole new system for construction. So if you look at the built environment we have today, certainly in housing, you see a lot of timber. And if you take a broader lens and you look at the commercial environment, you see a lot of steel and you see a lot of concrete. A lot of that innovation is driven over the years by changes in manufacturing that unlock changes in material, right? We have reinforced steel concrete because it wasn't just someone one day was like, oh, look, I invented reinforced steel concrete. Someone invented a factory system that can make that cheap enough to make it ubiquitous. And so we think to transform the world from residential, eventually up to commercial construction, you start with a new input for us that's grass, and then you start with a new construction or production technology that unlocks all this value at a very affordable economic cost.
So fascinating. So transforming grass into building materials. Can you talk more about that?
Sure. So envision a field, right, where you have, well, we say grass, but imagine if bamboo and sugarcane got together, mated, and had a baby, right? You would see something that was very, very tall, but where bamboo can be very, very wide, very thick in its circumference, which makes it difficult to harvest in America. That's why you don't see bamboo plantations, amongst other reasons. Sugarcane is about, let's say, a quarter in circumference, right? And so you'd have this grass grows very, very tall, very dense. That's a lot of biomass. It's serving our needs around removing carbon from the environment, but it also is a great feedstock for transforming into a finished product like a structural panel. And so for Planted, we take on the entire supply chain, right? We grow the grass, or we partner with farmers to grow the grass. We give them the plants. And then we're designing a new assembly line, so to speak, that's 100% electric, right? There's no smokestack. So we're not actually giving all that carbon back during manufacturing by running it up a smokestack and emitting it back into the atmosphere. We're able to design an assembly line that takes that grass, cuts it, puts resin on it, kind of forms it up so it's uniform, and then pushes it through what we would call a continuous press that's taking a lot of grass, let's say about 10, 12 inches tall, and compressing it down to something that's 7-16 inches thick, and out the door it goes to a job site. So it's a straightforward process. It's very complex to pull it off and make it happen, but that's what we're really doing. We're rethinking both the input from the farm and the manufacturing in the factory. And it's a system, not only is it 100% electric, it's light industrial construction. So that means there's no smokestack on the top. You also don't have to go down four stories of reinforced steel concrete to keep these massive, massive machines in place. We're building a production line that could go into any warehouse in America.
Absolutely fascinating. And I really appreciate you. The words matter. You talked about structural panel, right? And these kind of rewording stuff, because we really do have to get mass adoption. We have to change of, you think of OSB or plywood of just the only thing you use to throw on the side of a building. And I raise my hand and say, that's kind of what I was taught. And I just thought that's what we use. And honestly, that's until I met with you at the Housing Innovation Alliance. And it was just like, wow, think about it very differently. But we really all have to come together through innovation partners like Housing Innovation Alliance to get mass adoption. In fact, we must get mass adoption to make meaningful change. How are you going to do that, Josh?
So there's three ways that we think about this. The first is, you know, on the one hand, yes, we have this, you could call it a very green, you know, a green eco-friendly type product. And people will instantly think, if you say, hey, I have this sustainability innovation, eco-friendly innovation, it's got to cost more, right? And so we're very cognizant of, when we started this business, we started it with the belief that we can win on cost in the field versus the forest. We can win on cost in the factory versus the way the industry works today. And we can win on cost in the material itself, the material science, because we use just two ingredients. We use this grass and we use resin. We don't have, which the industry, you know, use trees and resin, but then the industry goes and uses waxes and other fillers and all these petrochemicals that cost a lot of money. And they're also not great for our health, but we remove those from the process. And so we believe we can get to an innovation that can be cost competitive. The other thing that we deliver on is designing a product from literally the ground up that is meant to be a direct drop-in replacement, right? So this while the material is different, the structural panel that we deliver to a home builder, whether for wall sheathing or roof decking as a starting point, installs exactly the same as plywood or OSB. And so what that means is we deliver something to that builder that has all of this, you know, environmental and in some respects social benefit built into it, but yet it just goes onto a house in exactly the same way. So that adoption is easy for a builder who wants to go down this path with us. And so that's something that we think about all the time. So same density, you know, you nail into it the same way, it works exactly the same way. And that's how we think, you know, combined with price, we get to adoption.
I absolutely love that. Spot on by saying we really have to plug and play a product to the general contractors who have the same nail guns and all these other things that work the same way. Critically important, that I'm a huge fan of, that is the way that you're looking at this for mass adoption. But first, it's the people in front of the process, right? So we've been talking really about how we change the process. Can you talk a little bit more about your team at Planted as you talked about how you think in the different companies on the intro that you've built up and scaled? I'd love to get your take around your team that's all supporting you in these efforts.
So what makes this business go, 100, everyone says it pays lip service to it. For us, for sure, it's team and bringing people together with really unique backgrounds. My co-founders, Nathan and Wada, both come from SpaceX. And so I met Wada first. He had also moved to North Carolina after 7 years at SpaceX as the responsible engineer designing the components, the systems, the materials to keep astronauts alive on the Dragon spacecraft. So it's a pretty big job, pretty important. And Nate was the build engineer. So he would take Wada's designs and then he would go build the factories, put the teams together, and figure out how to get those systems materials components built and then installed onto the, you know, the Dragon spacecraft for the life support systems. And so when you think about, so two things come out of that. When you think about keeping astronauts alive as they're traveling around Earth, you think about carbon regulation, right? That atmosphere in that small SUV has to be highly regulated, can't have too much carbon dioxide. It's a logical leap to then say, how do we think about that for Spaceship Earth? 8 billion people, indefinite mission duration. We have to regulate the carbon in the atmosphere, which means at this point, there's too much in the atmosphere. We've got to take it out. And so this is from a founding team. These are folks who can design a process, design a material, and go implement at rapid speed, you know, with high stakes and really perform effectively. On the agriculture side, we were very fortunate early on to hire Dr. Janelle Olitz, who's an agronomist, got her PhD at NC State. She's actually a soil scientist, to help us understand how do we scale up what we're doing on the agriculture side. Because it's, you know, for us at Planted, we're taking on three businesses at once. We're taking on the entire agriculture side of the business, the true supply chain side. We couldn't find anyone who was crazy enough to work with us to grow the grass, so we have to figure all that ourselves. And then we're building our own factory, right? We're building our own machines. No one else in this industry, no one else in the world actually does that. If you look at any major OSB manufacturer in North America, they mostly go to Germany and get their machines from two companies there. And then we're actually running the factory. And so we're a team of 60 today. We have an ag team, we have a lot of engineers, and we have this really talented production team that takes the designs from our engineers and builds what we think is a revolutionary technology.
Mind blown and so intrigued. I love your talking tracks and how you talk about the team and taking lessons learned and putting them together. How do we follow this movement? Correct me if I'm wrong, you're launching your own podcast titled Building a Movement that's all about how to figure out and take these lessons learned like you talked about for a carbon negative future.
We are, yeah, and thank you for that, Devin. So, you know, this is, in many respects, this is total transformation of an industry. If we think about how do we take the carbon, how do we decarbonize home building, how do we decarbonize commercial construction, it's not just one company. It's truly, it takes a movement of builders, of you know, all sorts of stakeholders across the industry, policy, consumers, folks coming together to think this through. And so building a movement brings together what we would say are the innovators, the thought leaders who are thinking about that challenge. How do we take the carbon out? How do we decarbonize our building so that we can still very much enjoy the quality of life that we're accustomed to and want to enhance in the places where we live, and yet do that in a way that brings our overall economy into balance with nature and reduces our impact. That's a really exciting thing for us to talk about. And honestly, starting a podcast is my opportunity. I'd be interested to hear your take on this, but to learn and understand, you know, as we're going forward, because it really is a movement, and I want to understand as much about this industry and this movement as I possibly can while we're helping to grow it at the same time.
I totally agree. And I raise my hand and say, I'm not a NASA taught person who understands this carbon thing like other people. So that's where I want to get brought up to speed to say, this stuff's super important, but how do we pull it into understanding it, right? And that's the building of a movement that you're creating with Planted so we can listen to each other's podcasts. At the end of the day, you have to go get a lot of different resources and as a group of innovators to make meaningful change. It's not about Josh or Devin. It's about building a movement through blending the art and executing it in construction. That's really hard to do, but it takes people like us that step up to the plate and take lessons learned to figure that out. And I totally commend you, and we're huge fans of what you're doing. We'll make sure we put links in the show notes. We all want people to be listening to us, but it's really hard to be heard in the world of noise because there's so much stuff getting pushed out there. We have to go to talk for 45 minutes around just taking what is made out of OSB yesterday and what could it be made out of today, right? And what do we call that, right? So as we close this thing out, Josh, what is your crystal ball for the future when it comes to blending technology and construction?
What I see is technology playing a massive role in shortening supply chains, strengthening supply chains, making construction more resilient as an industry. You know, we're coming to this industry and construction, and we'll be the first to admit from an outsider's perspective. So, you know, we're stepping into conversations that I know have been going on for 20 years, and we're seeing them now for the first time. But from that outsider's lens, what I see are leaders across industries who are moving very quickly to embrace new technologies that make job sites more efficient, work with labor more efficiently as well, and, you know, do everything they can to shorten, you know, the sales cycle, shorten all components of what it looks like to actually grow a business in this industry. So it's very exciting to me. You know, our mantra at Planted is move fast and fix things. And we've seen that when we're talking with builders, there's a shared commitment to that kind of approach. And that's how I think we know that we're going to make progress very quickly.
I love it. And what is that last thing you want to leave our builders and affiliates to think about as they go out there to crush it and grow their business?
The most important thing that I've learned from my career and what we're doing at Planted is to understand what you do best, right? What differentiates you. And then also understand, though, not just what you think you do best, but understand what your customers think you do best, right? Because we think that we are selling, or we could think that we're selling a climate change solution, whereas a prospective customer is saying to me, no, what you're actually selling me is stable pricing in a commodity market, right? Because that's OSB is typically fluctuating. And so, you know, I think it's really important to hone in on that difference, understand what you do great, but really understand what the market perceives as your core value proposition, and speak to that when you talk to your customers as much as possible.
Josh, we're such big fans. We can't wait. We'll make sure we put links in the show notes on your podcast and stay in touch of all the cool stuff you got going. Thank you for coming in and sharing your story, Josh.
Dude, that was awesome. Thank you for that. Really, thank you.
I love how simple they're starting the conversation. Growing grass into a structural panel. But that's actually, how do you do that? And I loved how he shared about how behind the scenes, they're having to do a lot of new things because you don't just go hire a factory to grow grass and build this panel. But I loved how he said we have to grow fast in all different ways, but then tie it back into a straightforward method to where he said the finished product needs to be 7/16 thick. Why is that? Because that's how all of the stuff actually works. To take a wall and build it out together and making it straightforward to who? The customer. And I think we're all trying to question who is the customer when it comes to commodities in a world coming out of COVID and supply chain, those two things that rocked the boats. So we have a lot to do to achieve this, but we have to figure out how to be eco-friendly. We can't say to be eco-friendly, it must cost more. And Josh has said that over and over every time I talk to him. He's saying, we have to make it eco-friendly and cost less. But to do that, you have to be simple to the core. Grass and resin. And we have to remove the toxins, pun intended, because there's a lot of different toxic things out there, and the red tape. And you have to figure out how to don't change the downstream and upstream on how you're creating the handoffs of what we call about the customer care wheel in the Art of Construction Master Facilitators program. They need to be able to use the same nail gun. They need to be able to use that same nail gun and understand, do I have to massively change the pressure? Is some weird thing going to ooze out at me? And all these things you have to figure out, because if you confuse, you lose. And so at the end of the day, the story, I just was fascinated when I was listening to this, because you have to leave because you don't know what you don't know, and boy, you're jaded by what you think you know. So we do this trip every 2 years with this family, and we go somewhere to where we get away to go on the beach, but we always do something as families where we go and we can learn as a family to bring something back. And this year's trip was to Kennedy Space Center. And I was like, we're there. We just go check in. I'll just go check the box. And I'm not much of a space guy. But my mind was blown when I walked in there to see the size and mass of the Apollo, of what they had to do to get that thing to land on the moon. But then the part that really, really struck me is we did this, the private tour, and we're driving out this road, what they had to do to get this thing, and all the stories from the tour guide. And then they just say, well, SpaceX doesn't use any of that because they just bring their rocket right out here. That night they were launching a rocket, but it wasn't out there because they've streamlined so many different things like Josh talked about. And I also, if you go back to many of the podcasts, I talked about how I've done tons of research on Elon Musk because I was just fascinated about how he could go and disrupt with SpaceX, with rockets against NASA and cars with electric and all these different changing this stuff. But it takes people like Josh building his team to say the tour guide, we're sitting there in this place and talking about all this crazy stuff. And the tour guide said, how many people would want to go to space? And everybody raises their hand. And then he talked about how much it costs to go to space today. Then he talked about what it could be because of SpaceX 10 years from now. And Josh talked about how I've been hearing this stuff for 20 years and the different businesses he's brought. But it's really innovators like Josh that come in to make meaningful change. Because I don't know about you, I'm intrigued about going to space. But what about the people that really wanted to go to space and bring back the technology to make the good old USA a much safer and more carbon neutral planet that we live on all day, every day? So those lessons learned are super important for us all to say, at the end of the day, tribe, we have to move fast and we have to fix things. Go check out Planet. Crush it out there, tribe.